The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'll tell you who does know a lot about a lot of things is my good buddy, the South Carolina State Treasurer, the Honorable Curtis Loftus. He's a pretty smart dude. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, Deb, how are you?
I'm good. So what's going on in the great state of South Carolina that has to do with money?
Well, thank you for the kind words to start with about being smart. The good thing about politicians is if we don't know it, we just make up the answer.
You would not believe how many of my texters just wrote me in about one of my other guests today. So, yeah, they want politicians to stop talking politic talk and talk real truth.
Yeah, I'll sit in rooms sometimes and I'll think, what is this conversation actually about? Can somebody explain it to me? Because the conversation has nothing to do with the real problems. But, you know, that's life and we deal with it every day. South Carolina's doing all right. We've got lots of money.
Now, see, okay, so here's the problem. I hear that the state legislature has all this money, and I'm still driving on roads that have potholes that have not been paved. I thought I gave a penny for education. I gave another penny for paved roads. Why do not throw that money at some program? Pave the darn roads.
Exactly. Well, I can tell you that the DMV, DOT, Department of Transportation of today, is a completely different place than it was 10 years ago. The Treasurer's Office has put its nose under the tent there. We're helping them with finance. In the past, they didn't want help. They didn't want help with anything. They did it all in-house. And now we are working with them on how to best finance roads, how to keep their cash flow going. The new director down there is a very smart woman, and she just has done so much better. Now, the problem we have is we were so far behind. And she's in a business, think about this, she's in a business where the only thing worse than doing nothing, where you have potholes and overcrowded roads, is when you start fixing those roads and there's a man out there with a sign that says stop.
Yeah, right? I know.
And you're from four, so it's a mess. I had them give me about an hour class about how to build an interstate, or like the malfunction junction right here in Columbia,
uh-huh.
A 10-year project. They have to estimate with clarity how many lawsuits they're going to face over the next 10 years, how many contractors and subcontractors are going to be available. Will there be enough equipment even if the subcontractor is available? I mean, it's just really bizarre when you look at the train of things they have to look at. Having said all that, they have more projects going on now than they've ever had, and they have more projects going on at once. And we've really helped them. People will sometimes focus on the amount of cash they have. Well, you can't spend the cash till you can spend the cash. And a lot of it, you have to wait. So I feel good about it. I'm a member of the public. When I leave my driveway, the first thing I do is hit some big root stumps. Drives me crazy. But I just got to wait. So
yeah.
I do ask for people to have some patience. And I understand, you know, we're all there. You get on the highways. And
but Curtis, let me
head to Charleston.
But let me ask you this. I mean, what happened to all the money that we did supposedly set aside for roads?
Well, you mean now, since the reform? Well, a lot of it's still there, and because they can't spend it. I mean, literally, we let a big contract the other day. Well, 6 months ago now. The only reason we were able to let that contract is because a rogue contractor in North Carolina had a busted state contract, and we got to steal him and bring him here.
So there's not enough people doing the business.
That's right. There's not enough people. There's not enough equipment. There's not enough asphalt. Geographically, you may be set in one part of the state and not another. You can start and get ready for a road, and all of a sudden there's an environmental lawsuit or some property owners get after you or something like that. I can only say to people, if I were in the audience, I'd say, what's this guy talking about? I give you my word. We deal with them on a regular basis. They have reformed that place. It's not perfect, of course. It's nearly 5,000 employees, and good Lord knows how many subcontractors. But they are really working hard. And as a politician, somebody has to get elected. I know when you stand up for the DOT, you're not making friends. So I don't do it lightly. I thought about it a lot. And we just need to have some confidence, and we got to wait and just try to be as good citizens as we can, because it just waited too long. We've got too much backlog. We just can't do it in the time allotted.
Are they going to try to use some of this money to shore up the lacking pension here in the state?
Well, no. And that's been a disappointment for me. The General Assembly gave certain organizations a pass on the increased contributions here that have been going in. They've been kicking in for the last 5 years. Like the research universities, Carolina, Clemson, MUSC, they don't have to pay the uptick. And there's some others, too. I can't recall them off the top of my head. But we've got to stop these. It's called a contribution holiday. We've got to stop that. Mm-hmm. We've got to pay all those. But you know how I feel about the universities. They get all these special privileges. And what do they do for us, right? I mean, it's so they're not having to pay their increased pension plans. They can pass that along in wacky programs that they can't wait to roll out. The pension program is doing a little better,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad about that. But when we don't pay the contributions that we know we should, we're making a big mistake.
You know, Curtis, you and I've had a conversation about what is happening on the national, international level with all these nonprofits who are trying to reach into states to fund their kids who won't go get real jobs. Unfortunately, we don't have time today on this, but I would like to see if I could bring you back in on Friday and have that conversation about what's going on. I don't think the public knows that. So why don't you give us a teaser?
Well, sure. The state of South Carolina pays $500 million a year at a minimum to not-for-profits to run programs. Most of them are not audited, either financially or programmatically. Every time I look at one, I find that their claims are not founded. You know, when someone says to you it's evidence-based or it's science-based, run. Just run, because they control the evidence, they control the science, they control all of the mechanisms around it. So to the layman, it makes sense. You know, it's like mask outside, you know. They're wearing masks on tennis courts in high school tennis. Think about that. You're 60 feet from your opponent, and you're wearing a mask as you do athletic work. That's part of the evidence base, right? So it's craziness. We've got to take control of these types of things. And at some point, conservatives and Christians are going to stand up and say, we're not taking this lunacy anymore. We've got to fight back. We've got to just say no. We just disagree, and we're not going to do it. And until we do, we're going to continue getting more of the same.
You know, I think when you and I had dinner that time, you had mentioned that the state of South Carolina pays Harvard University to take a look at us. Well, we could use that money and look at ourselves.
Oh, yeah. We pay Harvard and MIT, just on one program alone, $1 million. And it's four binary questions, yes or no questions. I mean, you and I could do it. Literally, you and I could sit down on a Saturday once a quarter and do this. We're paying $1 million. I think the janitors at Harvard make more than I do.
So here's my curiosity. How do we get that stopped? Is that a legislative thing?
Yes. It's all in the legislature, and I've worked hard. Because, you know, I know so many of these guys and girls in the legislature, and they're good people. But as a herd, they're not given permission to stop this. We've had, like this year, we were successful in having the Teach for America, isn't that a great sounding name? Mm-hmm. Teach for America budget cut in half, because it was costing us 100 times. Let me say that again, because it's hard to believe. It was costing us 100 times more for them to recruit teachers than it was for the state to recruit teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to cut that budget in half, hopefully next year. But there's 1,000 more. The General Assembly has a big task. They're supposed to set the tone in the state. They write the laws. They tend to get involved in the details, and you cannot manage details in the General Assembly. Therefore, we have these glaring problems. It's like when Congress says, hey, we're going to write everybody a check because everybody needs money. Well, I spent yesterday with one of the largest car dealers in the country. He can't get cars fast enough to sell them.
Wow.
Because these $1,400 checks are not going to people who need money to get by. They're going to people like my parents who are 88, 91. They don't need money. And there's tons of people just like that who are getting checks, buying cars. It's good for the economy, don't get me wrong, but it's distorting what we're trying to do. It's not, and it's also not helping the people. It's not separating the needy from the greedy.
Yeah.
And what we do at the state level is the same way. And these not-for-profits, they rule the country. They run the Biden administration.
Yeah,
it's just plug and play up there.
Yeah, we're seeing it happen. Hey, I got to tell you, yeah. I always love having you on. The listeners love having you on. I'm going to check back with your staff to see if I can bring you in on Friday, and we're going to focus a little bit more on that. All right, thank you. Oh, by the way, Curtis, what do you take on your taco? What do you take on your taco?
Gosh, I don't know. I have the same diet as a teenage migrant. And I'm at fast food lines all the time. I don't have anybody at the house now. I'm single, and I eat like a Bojangles biscuit for lunch and maybe for supper too.
Oh my gosh,
my dad's awful.
State Treasurer.
I can't remember last time I had a taco.
All right, State Treasurer Curtis Loftus.